Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 22nd February 2022, Tuesday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at page 205 of chapter 1, volume 1, under the introduction by Venerable Master Xuan Hua. Just relax body and mind. Then we will off the light. Then you can have your awareness-based meditation as usual for half an hour. Okay. I will set the alarm. Then after that, 30 minutes from the time I start, we will ring the bell 3 times. Then after that, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Okay, always remember the four support for awareness-based meditation. When your spiritual faculties are already established, then it's very easy to meditate. To meditate, you just remember the four support. Relax into every mind state that arises. Then maintain awareness. After that, maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then the last one is trust. Trust your nature to meditate. Do not allow the thought to come in and interfere with your meditation. Meditation is to develop the awareness within, to be aware of what is going on, so that you can develop the wisdom and the understanding, so that you can realize your true mind, which is the silent mind. The silent mind is also your meditative mind. And when you are able to be with that awareness nature, you can understand many things. That nature can insight into phenomena and awaken. That nature also can develop the silent observation of what is the reality. So this is what meditation is all about. Of course, if you go back to the sutta, then the sutta didn't really explain much, except it's taught by the Buddha. If you don't have the five spiritual faculty of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya developed until it's very stable, then you cannot be in the meditative state, because the opposite five, mental hindrance, will arise. When the mental hindrance arises, you cannot meditate. Because these are mind state that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So when the mental hindrance are there, it will create such hindrance. Then you cannot meditate. You cannot be in the state of awareness. And because of that, you think a lot. Sankara activity keep on arising. It conditions heedless thinking. It conditions restlessness of mind, doubt, reaction to sense experience. Then you lack sati. When you lack sati, you cannot stabilize your mind. You cannot develop samadhi, then you cannot meditate. That's the reason why most people have problems. That's why if you have such problem, what normally is being taught is they will come up with methods and techniques for you to train your mind, to anchor your mind. But people don't understand this. So they use it to do whatever they think is meditation. So the focusing, the concentration are more often thought-based. type of meditation, the noting, who knows what knows, they never inquire. And what are methods and techniques? Methods and techniques does not define the meditation. It's just a skillful means, a series of instructions to do certain things. The purpose is to anchor the mind so that it does not wander off, because they don't have the spiritual faculty. So that is the reason why they come out with all these methods and techniques or skillful means to anchor the mind. The main purpose is to develop mindfulness or awareness. That's why the Buddha suggested anapanasati, because it's a very neutral object of meditation, suitable for most people. So anapana means in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is the mindfulness of the in and out breath. So the purpose of that in and out breath is for you to anchor your mind to develop mindfulness. You are not supposed to focus and concentrate on the nostril there. If you do that, then it is not anapanasati. So all these are skillful means to train your mind so that your mind is just aware without thought. When it's just aware, it's already mindful and without thought. That's why mindfulness has to be developed until it's very stable. The other way to do it, which is the correct way, is to develop the stability of the spiritual faculty to counter the mental hindrance. When the spiritual faculties are there, the mental hindrance cannot arise. And because of that, you are naturally in the meditative state. Because sati leading to samadhi, you will be there. Then saddha, virya are spiritual faculties that can support your meditation. Then with sati and samadhi, wisdom can come to be. So all these five spiritual faculties counter the five mental hindrances. And when you have them developed, your meditation becomes automatic, very natural. That's how you can straight away go into the meditative state. You just silence your mind, maintain awareness, relax. Then you are in sati. You are already aware without thought. That's how the awareness-based meditation develops. No need to think, no need to know, no need to focus or concentrate or do anything. Just allow the mind to be in a relaxed state of awareness and let it settle down. Then maintain awareness for as long as you can until it becomes very stable. So this is what you have to do, okay? You can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind state that you need to make use of to live your life, to develop the daily mindfulness, the cultivation leading to heedfulness. Then you will progress, and you will be able to understand the Buddha Dharma or the teaching much easier. Okay, we are at part C. Okay, we have finished the first two paramitas, dana and sila. So now we are at the third one. The third one is patient. Patient is kanti, the Pali word is kanti. Okay, for those who don't have the hard copy the book, you can follow our website page. It's already there, so you can see we are chapter 1 page 4 part C. Patient, this is a fine quality indeed. You are able to be patient, you possess a treasure. So patience as a virtue is very important. You can develop patience as a virtue, then it brings about tremendous benefit to the individual, to the cultivator. Yes, like Master Xuan Hua said, patience itself is a very fine quality indeed. This type of virtue is very difficult to come by. If you possess this type of virtue, it's like you have a type of spiritual treasure with you. Then here, Master Xuan Hua said, haven't I said before, patience is a priceless treasure which very few people know how to make use of. He used the word employ. Oh, the old version and the new version is different. They changed the English word. I think the English word was not so correct. The old one I read first. Patience is a priceless treasure. That one is the same. Which few, the word people is not there, know how to. The old version was like go and mine for treasure, know how to mine. I think it's a direct translation. So they have changed over to this word, how to make use of, it means employ it. Patience is a priceless jewel, but no one know how to make use of it. Means that quality, that virtue. People may be patient once, or pushing it even twice. But on the third time, normally, they will blow up. Just what do you think you are doing, bullying me like that? Do you really think I'm afraid of you? So this is what happened in the worldly activity when we go through life. Here, I think Master Xuan Hua is giving us some example. Then he said, the person may say, ha, I have stood for this just about long enough. Once, twice, and three times, I have had it. All I can take. This is really too much, he said. And then the fight, maybe it's on. These things happen when one loses patience. Once there is an old cultivator of patience, he wrote out a sentence on the signboard and hung it on his door. He said, a nature like ashes. That is, his nature was like a burnout ash, and he has not even a spark or a fire in it. So it means he never get angry. He worked hard and cultivated until he was very mellow, just as flexible and yielding as water. Then along came a bodhisattva to test him. He looked at the sign and said, what does that sign mean? Then the cultivator said, a nature like ash. A few minutes later, the bodhisattva again asked, what does the sign say? A nature like ash. Ashes, came the reply. A moment later, again the question, same question. What does the sign say? I can't remember clearly. Then the cultivator repeat, a nature like ashes. So this question continued for several thousand times, and finally the old cultivator cannot take it anymore. Here they use the word ignited. It says, a nature like ashes. A nature like ashes means like getting more upset, unhappy already. Then he told that person, what are you trying to do anyway? What are you trying to prove? I'm cultivating the way. Just who are you to come and stir up trouble with me? Oh, came the reply. It would seem that the ash had a bit of fire in them after all. And so saying, he ascended into empty space, means the Bodhisattva. Who is he? He was Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and he had come to test the cultivator. Just like you are a cultivator, you have to have what we call this virtue of patient endurance. Patient endurance must be done with wisdom. Otherwise, you cannot pass. So when the test comes as a cultivator, you really must have the wisdom. And this patient is patient, having wisdom behind to enable you to endure whatever that you need to endure. But that is the reality. And not able to understand all this will break your cultivation. You will fail the test. But most people do not have the understanding because they are affected by mundane condition, mundane situation. So when we are involved with the mundane mind, we do not have the awareness nature within, then we can get ourselves entangled. So here is it, but after several decades of cultivating a nature like ashes, he still flunked the test. So Kuan Yin Bodhisattva said, you better cultivate some more. I will come back in another 20 years to see you again. See, it's not easy. Patience means that you have no tempo. When I was a disciple, I never dared to get angry, whether I was in my teacher's presence or in my teacher's presence or not. Why? Because my teacher wasn't stern like I am. He was very compassionate. But in fact, really, Master Shen Hua is very strict. If I got angry, he would refuse to eat. He would say, I haven't done a good job teaching my disciple, so I won't eat. Because of this, I didn't dare to get angry. Did I have a temple? My temple was huge, bigger than anyone else. But because I left home to cultivate, I learned to control it. So now in America, I have just accepted 3 Americans as left home disciples. Before they left home, they weren't bad temple. But now that they have, they haven't learned anything except how to get angry. They have mastered the art of blowing their tops. Yesterday, 2 of them came complaining to me. One said that the other had gotten angry, and the other said that the first one had gotten angry. In the end, who did get angry? I don't care. But I decided to establish a rule. Which I announced yesterday, and announced again last night, and will repeat once again this evening. I don't care who get angry, who is in the right or who is in the wrong, but whoever get angry must kneel in front of the Buddha for a day and a night, means 24 hours. During this time, they are not allowed to rise, either to go to the bathroom, eat, drink or sleep. That's my rule. And if you don't kneel before the Buddha, I will do it for you, myself. Try it and see. But not only does the one who get angry have to kneel, all of the disciples, that is the 3 Americans, 3 have to kneel together, which means that the 2 who did not get angry also have to kneel. But that's unfair, you say. If only one gets angry, why should the other 2 also have to kneel? If you are worried about justice, you should be informed that there simply is no justice in this world. If you are afraid, then don't get angry. don't think you can get away with angry, with getting angry when I'm not around either, because you will be punished just the same. You may think I don't know, but for all you know, I may have a secret information service, or someone may tell me, and you will have to kneel all the same. Is that clear? Patient. Why will you have to kneel without eating, drinking, or sleeping? It is so that you can cultivate patience. If you get angry, that means you must cultivate patience and learn to bear the pain on your knee as you kneel. Did you hear that clearly? If so, the law goes into immediate effect immediately. A number of people who were thinking on living the home life are suddenly afraid now. The master is really strict and stern. I don't think I dare to leave home one day. If you are afraid, then just don't get angry and everything will be alright. I didn't invent this law. It's an age-old custom. But whether or not you kneel is up to you, not me. Why did I establish the rules? If I didn't, then as I accept more disciples, they would constantly be fighting and bringing this silly argument to me. There won't be enough hours in the day to pass judgment on their deluded case. How can cultivator of the way get angry? They can't. If as a teacher you get angry at your disciple, that's permissible. But to get angry at one's peer is not. Then there's a saying, patience is a priceless gem, which few people know how to make use of. But if you can master it, everything works out fine. If you have mastered the virtue of patience, then everything will go on well. If you haven't, everything goes wrong. So this is the section on patience, but the way I understand it is slightly different. Patience is about having understanding behind. That's why I like the word patient, endurance. You endure with wisdom. That's why you can be patient. It doesn't mean that everything you must like, don't react, don't get angry. That one is not cultivation. That one is suppression. When you suppress your emotion, trying not to be angry, trying not to erupt, or they call it fly off the handle. Australia got this term, when you are angry, fly off the handle or what, something like that. So all this is a result of circumstances and human relationship. When you have situation or circumstances that can condition emotion or anger, then people who lack wisdom will be affected. That's why you will stir, you will become unhappy. Then through that unhappiness, you may become emotional. So sometimes when you are emotional, you get angry. You really get angry. Or you become very violent. You voice out. You speak harshly. Then that angry emotion make you violent and cause a lot of disharmony, misunderstanding, conflict. That's how karma come to be. And this is the evil root of all evil. The evil roots of hatred, anger. So when it comes to cultivation, this virtue of patience is to be developed with wisdom. That's why we call it patient endurance. We endure with patience based on wisdom, not to surprise, not to resist. Sometimes we get ourselves entangled with cultivation through knowledge, this Dhamma knowledge. They will tell you, patience is to counter anger. Anger is the evil root. You must not get angry. Then if you are a cultivator, if ever you still have anger, it means you have not cultivated correctly, or you have not become like what they believe, an enlightened being. Because if you are enlightened, the three evil roots are no more. So how can you get angry? And people become like conditioned by that knowledge, by that thought process. So they try to behave like a cultivator. They try to behave like an enlightened being, not wanting to get angry. So if you do that, what happens? Actually, inside, you are already not happy. You cannot accept, you cannot come to terms with the reality. But because you think you cannot get angry, because you are a cultivator. And you believe you already have the understanding or the enlightenment. So you suppress your anger. You don't want to get angry. So suppressing your anger is not patient. That's why the Cantonese word for patient is very good. Yan. Yan. Yan means actually the Cantonese word yan is a very good word. It has a negative connotation. Means no matter what happened, yan means develop that patience. Don't react. Don't do anything. But without wisdom, sooner or later that one will burst. It's like you bottle up until the pressure becomes so strong, it will burst. It will burst. So patience need wisdom to root out, to overcome. And when you have wisdom, then you will know there are time to endure. There are time to be patient. It's not appropriate for you to talk. Better don't talk. That's why silence sometimes is useful. Silence is golden. Not to be stirred by situation or what people say or situation. So all this is part and parcel of cultivation training. And I realize one thing that you need to understand to develop patience is to have the wisdom. The first understanding is, don't try to be right. If you try to be right, you will get into big trouble because you don't understand. In truth, right and wrong is a conventional reality, not an ultimate reality. You know what is conventional reality? It's a conventional truth. It's not a reality. So right and wrong is a duality created by the thought process, the human mind. So when duality arises, it means right according to who? The individual. So when you try to be right without such understanding, you will get yourself entangled and become miserable over it. Because when you are right, the other person is wrong. Because the two cannot agree. So why must you insist that you are right? It's just a difference in opinion, understand? A difference in outlook, the way you see things. You may have your conditioning, your belief system, your way to justify what you see. That's why to you, it's right. So, it's just a conventional reality, right according to you. But when I understand that, I don't argue with you. I don't like try to prove you wrong. No point. Because your life, you decide, you live. But when there is condition to explain or to advise somebody so that they can develop the understanding, that is different. Then we try our very best, basing on our understanding, to explain. Then if there is no condition, if that person is very rigid or very conditioned by what he believes or she believes in, then just let things be. No point. Like the video about the tiger and the donkey. So you just have to have the understanding. No point arguing with a person that is deluded and heedless. Yes, this is wasting time. So patient endurance is understanding behind. When you have the understanding behind, you can be at peace with all situations. If they want to be right, let them be right. Say thank you. You didn't lie because it's right according to them, not according to your understanding. So ability to accept is wisdom. When you can accept the way things are, means people are just the way they are. The world is the world, condition like that, things be like that. It cannot be otherwise. Within that moment, that reality, everything is already set, fixed. It cannot be otherwise. So if you have the wisdom and the understanding, you can come to terms with those reality. Then you can be at peace. Then you can patiently with wisdom endure such, whether it's a humiliation or whatever, it's the words, understand or not? Sangharani chang, sangara dukkam, dhamma natta. So when you have such understanding, you just smile. You can even thank people. Thank you for letting me know. So all these are skillful means via wisdom for you to resolve things amicably. Resolving things and issue amicably without having to go through right and wrong is very important. Without having to stir a situation or a condition so that there is misunderstanding, argument and conflict. That's why war come to be. It's because of difference in ideology, opinions. And people get angry over what? Trivial things, deluded things. Their heedless thinking mind, the mundane mind, clinging onto their views, opinion, belief system, and conditioning. That's how living being, sentient being get into trouble, gets into unnecessary suffering or conflict via argument. So all this apply to all situations, even between married couple, spouse. If you are not careful, you can get into argument. Yeah, you tend to take things for granted. Then you don't know how to establish good relationship, harmony. You don't know how to apply Noble Eightfold Path. Right view, which is wisdom, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right mindfulness. And also, the four right effort to constantly improve ourselves, purify ourselves. Then after that, you develop the way to live your life in accordance with the Dhamma way. So right likelihood or right living will follow. Then after that, sati, samasati will lead to samasamadhi. with sati and samadhi, you are in a meditative state. Then you can see things as they are. You can insight into phenomena. You can awaken to the three universal characteristics. Then you will become enlightened. And that's how you cultivate. So cultivation is very simple when you understand. What you need is awareness leading to heedfulness, or mindfulness leading to heedfulness. To be heedful, you have to be ever mindful, constantly meditating, following Dhammapada verse 23, as proclaimed by Lord Buddha. Okay, hopefully with this, people can have deeper understanding of that third paramita, which is patient, kanti. Then we go to the fourth one, D. The English translation is vigor. It's actually in Pali called virya. Virya. Virya is a spiritual zeal, spiritual tenacity to cultivate, to perfect yourself, to develop the understanding and the awakening. So we read on following Master Shen Hua's commentary. So under vigor or virya, he gave this example. Last summer, one of my disciples spoke about virya or vigor, and now he has been vigorous because he has come to the lecture with an illness and all. There are two types of vigor or virya, physical and mental. Physical vigor refers to bowing to the Buddha, reciting the sutras, and holding on the mantras, working hard at cultivation, and never ever relaxing, sleeping less. Two. It's no easy matter to be a monk. You can't just sleep all day. You must exercise vigor by day and by night. Those who vigorously apply genuine effort do not just put on a show for other people. They cultivate vigorously, whether anyone is looking or not. The work of the cultivator or cultivation is done for oneself. It's not done to show others. You must be vigorous. So this is Master Xuan Hua's explanation. But my nature have a slightly different understanding. You see, virya is a spiritual zeal, Z-E-A-L, or tenacity to go this way, the Dhamma way, to diligently cultivate. The word should be diligent. But virya is a spiritual zeal born of having faith in the Buddha and his teaching. When we see the importance of this teaching, because this teaching of the Buddha, the Dhamma, can actually liberate our mind and give rise to wisdom, the trigger of enlightenment in the here and the now. And after that, we do not need to worry about life. But once you are enlightened or awakened, you will never have to go through suffering anymore. That's why the Buddha says suffering need not be. Suffering only arises when you are deluded and heedless. To the wise one, those who have the wisdom and the awakening, they will never have to suffer again. So this virya is an understanding behind. That's why we determine to go all out to cultivate diligently with the spiritual zeal or tenacity, spiritual tenacity within. Why? Because we know the beauty of this teaching. how wonderful this teaching is. It can lead to great transformation, great understanding. You not only understand life, you know how to live life. And you don't have to suffer anymore. You become so beautiful, so virtuous, so wise. Then the other thing is, through knowing who the Buddha is, because that faith is very important. The faith in the Buddha comes from your understanding of who the Buddha is. That's why we chant the salutation to the Buddha. Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho and all those things. The Buddha has got 9 great virtues. And he is perfect in wisdom and virtue. He is not only enlightened, he is a fully enlightened, fully evolved being, perfect in all aspects of cultivation. You can say when he arrives, he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. To have such a great being as your teacher, as your guide, your faith in him will be unshakable, and his teaching is so wonderful. That's why when I reflect on this faith in the Buddha and his teaching, I develop very strong virya, spiritual zeal. That's why in the early day, I went all out to cultivate. My mind never an instant doubt. It just go on. Why? But this is what I'm looking for. When I was reintroduced the first time, I read about the Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. My nature straight away arose. Straight away, I recognize what the thing is. I said, this is it. No need to search anymore. Whoever 2,000 years ago can summarize all his wisdom and understanding into just Four Noble Truths, that explain to me the whole of life, all of the mundane and super mundane aspect of life, he must be the real one. Yeah, for me, I tell myself, even if I'm enlightened, I cannot summarize all my understanding into just Four Noble Truths. And from there, the whole teaching spin off. Yeah. So ever since the day I had the condition to receive this Four Noble Truths, my nature arise again and straight away knew. That's it. No need to search. That's why I was so determined. I went all out to cultivate this Dhamma. I searched. That time I was only, I think, 1971. I think 17 years old. Around Form 4 or Form 5, I think. So, my mind become very different. I like to be alone, and I like to look at the night sky, the stars and all things. Then I keep on probing, inquiring. Where I was a science student, who am I? What am I? Why am I born into this world? What is my mission? So all this question, the probe started when I was young. I think Form 4, when I started to understand science better. So all this trigger the search. Then the virya that drives me become very strong later on when I went to the uni and I met the late chief, Kesri Dhammananda. He actually taught me a lot of things. I went to Brakefield that time. Then from Brakefield, I started my Dhamma cultivation and study. And of course, in between, I met many good teachers, monks too. Then, over the years, I think from 1971, I went to the uni after Form 6, which was 1975. Then that time, I moved very fast because I really came into contact with the teaching, the Brickfield Temple with Kesavidamananda, the lead chief. He was very good. I like his Dhamma talk. He used to record them, the Sunday talk and the Friday night talk. Then I helped set up the whole tape library. Then I was in charge with my family, the tape library. Then that time I listened to a lot of Dhamma. Then I keep on reflecting, contemplating, cultivating. Then the virya was very strong. I went all out. That's why this virya, you need to establish, to drive you to have the understanding so that your cultivation become very, very genuine, very direct, straight to the point. Because to me, there is no other thing in life more important than awakening to this teaching, this Dhamma. And without this Dhamma, I knew living being will suffer. You might say don't come. If you come to suffer and become afflicted and miserable, then why do you come? But human being got no choice. Because of the law of karma, you have to come. You cannot choose not to come or choose to come. So there is a big difference. That's why I straight away, my nature within knew this is the most important. So I was like 100% focused and the virya inside move. That's why I cultivate non-stop. Then after that, in the year 1986, when the message came from Kuan Yin, 86 to 89, that 3 years, full time, all out. I was still a lay person that time. I was still working, a married man with a family. I have 2 children, and I still able to develop the cultivation full time. That one really, every moment, every instant, even when I take my rest or go to sleep, then the first thing when I wake up is awareness, pay respect, triple jam. Then I do my religious routine. That's how you really progress. Because you don't do that, the virya is not there. The virya really drives you. Then later on, the virya move on to the bodhisattva only. You won't go all out to do it. So all these are very beautiful. Okay, we move on to the next one. The fifth one is Samadhi. So here they put Zen Samadhi. Or the old books say Dayan Samadhi. Actually, Zen and Dayan is the same. Zen is Chan. Chan. So Chan, here the English word is Chan. Chan. Chan is the Mandarin pronunciation for Zen. So Dayan is also Chan. So you can use whichever word you are familiar with. But the actual perfection, that word is Samadhi. So I'll read Xuan Hua's explanation first. This refers to cultivating skill in investigating Zen meditation. Perfection of mental vigor lies in constant mindfulness. So see, the word is constant mindfulness. Mental virya is the diligent cultivation of precept samadhi and panya, or precept samadhi and wisdom, and the eradication of greed, hatred, and delusion, evicting thoughts of greed, hatred, and delusion from your mind, means to root out the three evil roots. Then once you are vigorous, you can cultivate the investigation of Zen meditation. Zen meditation needs the aid of vigor or virya. If you do not have virya, or if you are not vigorous, it's like setting something in the sun for one day and then freezing it for 10. You shouldn't be one who is fond of the lotus today and fond of the pony tomorrow. In other words, inconsistent. What use is there in sunning something for one day and then freezing it for 10? Don't cultivate. The bracket is what? Siwa. It's cultivator. Siu chan, siu fofa. Okay. For one day and rest for 10 days. Yeah, siu sing the siu. In Chinese, both words sound the same. Siu si also siu. Rest is siu si, both also siu. Siu sing also siu, but it's a different word. In Chinese, both words sound the same. You will never obtain such a skill in Dhyan Samadhi that way. You see, the Samadhi that the Buddha meant is not concentration, not jhana. Please get this right. Samadhi is actually the collected mind which is unwavering. That is Samadhi. When your mind is collected and unwavering, you can add in the third one, without thought. Collected, unwavering, and without thought. That is Samadhi. And Samadhi has two stages. The first stage is before you become enlightened, awakened. It comes about through the cultivation of sati, mindfulness. When you are mindful, that is the beginning. Then when you stabilize that mindfulness or that awareness, you become ever mindful. Then when you are ever mindful, you can use this mind state to cultivate. That's why it becomes heedfulness. Ever mindful, constantly meditative. Means constantly use this ever mindful quality, means mindfulness or awareness that is very stable, to cultivate. Noble Eightfold Path. To insight into phenomena, to awaken, to observe, to see things as they are, to investigate Dhamma, all this. So the stability of mindfulness is very important. When your mindfulness becomes very stable, very calm, very still, then it reaches the state of Samadhi. It's just like the enlightenment factor, you remember? The seven factors of enlightenment. First, you have sati. With sati, it enables you to investigate them. You can contemplate, you can reflect, then you can investigate into Dhamma. Then if it stand up to investigation, your faith is very strong. Then it drives you to cultivate. Because you know, this is the Dhamma, which is the truth. It can lead to enlightenment, awakening. It can transform the individual, personality-wise, character-wise, until your karmic nature become very beautiful. So sati will lead to sati will lead to dhamma investigation or dhamma vichaya. Then from there, when it stand up the investigation, the virya will arise. When virya arise, the mind will go all out to cultivate what they call stability or sati. So when sati starts to develop, your mind transforms. When you are aware without thought, you will actually develop a mind state which is very beautiful. The Buddha called it piti. Piti is another enlightenment factor, the fourth enlightenment factor. So this piti is what we call spiritual calmness, spiritual peacefulness. It's not really very stable tranquility, but it's a type of spiritual joy, born of sati, born of the mind not having thought. Then when piti arises, the cultivator or the meditator who is able to experience this mind state will have a lot of joy. It's like some people call it spiritual rapture. Rapture. Huh? It is like a type of joy, very intense, but you feel very good. Then as you continue to relax into it, let it be, then it becomes more and more quiet until you experience the blissfulness of mind, sukhang. But be careful, sukhang is not an enlightenment factor. So don't be trapped when sukhang arises, because that bliss is really blissful, I tell you. It's so blissful, it's really like, you can use the word heavenly bliss or what. It's really very blissful. The bliss can be so intense. That word bliss is correct. Yeah. Because when it arises, your mind state is really like that. It's so blissful. Yeah. Then after that, you continue to relax and silent, not to be deluded by it. You don't get yourself entangled with it or attached to it, like keep on wanting it to be repeated. Then you will go beyond it. Because meditation is not to stay in that calmness, in that blissfulness. Those are the mind state that comes as a byproduct of meditation. But you are not supposed to attach and cling to all this, although they are really blissful, really, really wonderful mind state. You really can like attach, cling, because it's so blissful, so joyful. But meditation is to develop wisdom, to transform, to awaken, to free the mind. So don't be deluded by all this mind state that trap people. So you continue to relax and allow it to be. Then this mind, from piti, it transforms to sukhang. Then from sukhang, the mind becomes very quiet and very still. It reaches paucity. Paucity is an enlightenment factor. Paucity is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. The mind becomes completely without thought, very still, very tranquil. And when you hit this, when you are able to stabilize paucity, then it will flow over to become samadhi. That's why the fifth enlightenment factor is paucity. From paucity, you continue to relax, maintain awareness, stabilize it, then it becomes samadhi. Samadhi means that mind is without thought, it's collected. It's not only what we call tranquil and still. It's collected. Then later on, it becomes unwavering. Means at the moment of sense experience, most of the time, it does not stir, does not waver anymore. That's why once you have this type of samadhi, before the wisdom come in also, never mind. But most of the time you are able to do until this level of cultivation, you would have some form of initial wisdom, which we call the initial contemplative wisdom born of the first and second turning. So this initial wisdom, which is Yonisomanasikara, will help you to develop the stability or tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. And at the moment of sense experience, whether you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactile feel something, the mind is unwavering, collected. This mind can see things as they are, can see the reality, can be with the moment, fully aware. That is the first samadhi before the wisdom fully sets in. So that type of samadhi is very useful, because unless you have that type of initial samadhi, you cannot see things as they are. Your thought will come in very fast, or it will stir and react to sense experience and create the like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience very fast. It lashes onto the phenomenal world of consciousness and form. Then your views, opinion, and conditioning will come in and stir the mind. But when you have samadhi, that mind is collected and unwavering and without thought. That's why that one can be in the midst of life. Throughout the day, you are just aware. Then you start to see a lot of things that you never see before. You start to insight in the phenomena, awaken and understand many, many things that the Buddha shared with us. Especially the three universal characteristics. Then the understanding of the working of the mind. How the mundane mind arises, and how the paticca-samuppada come to be, the 12 links and all those things. Then you will see how the views, opinion, and conditioning from memory input the content of consciousness and cause you to be deluded, to stir, to react, and to develop the emotion, the wrong thought, and all those things. That's how living beings get into trouble and anchor themselves. So samadhi initially is needed for this stage of cultivation. Then when you go through this, you awaken very fast. You insight into phenomena, you understand the movement, the whatever, the subtle mental intention, everything. Things that you cannot see in the past, because the heedless thinking, the habitual tendency is so strong, you cannot root it out. You cannot straighten your views. So once this sati and samadhi is there, from pasati accumulate into samadhi, then your cultivation in the midst of life, when you are in a formal meditation or informal meditation, means daily mindfulness, or in the midst of life or activity, you become very different. Your mind becomes very different. That's why you keep on awakening. You keep on seeing things that people never see. Yeah, your mind is in that state of samadhi. Tranquility, stillness, collected, unwavering. Then from there, the wisdom keep on arising. Then one day, when you awaken, completely means when the wisdom is very penetrative arise. Panya, the last of the six perfection, will arise. But before it arise, this samadhi is still ordinary samadhi. But when that wisdom arise, the six paramita or perfection, prajna, arise, then this prajna or wisdom will make your mind equanimous. That's why equanimity is the last factor of enlightenment, the seven factors of enlightenment. That's why from samadhi, with wisdom, it transforms that samadhi into equanimity. The mind becomes equanimous. Under whatever circumstances, it is like that, equanimous. It knows the conditioned reality, the conditioned world's reality, and the unconditioned world's reality. That's why it can move both sides. You reach the third stage of see, Kan San, Yu Si San, means either conventional reality or the unconditioned reality, you will understand. That mind in equanimity will understand that it can move and adjust, that it can use the mundane mind to become normal again. Kan San, Yu Si San, the third level of seeing. That it can be in the unconditioned samadhi to talk to enlightened being. No problem. That's like Kan San, Bu Si San is the second stage. Then you go back to normality. Kan San, Yu Si San. So the first seeing is mundane seeing, like any mundane people. Kan San, Si San. Then when you have the enlightenment, the direct seeing, you see truth, you see reality. That's why there is no word, no concept. Then the mountain is no more a mountain. Kan San, Bu Si San. But finally, you have to go back to into life. You have to integrate back into society. You have to live life. You have to become normal again. That's why Kan San, Yu Si San. So this understanding is what I want to add, which is not in the Xuanhua's book. Okay, so we stop here. Then we will continue the next session. This last perfection, prajna. Prajna, I will explain also. Okay, now we will open up for maybe meditation reporting.
Actually, Brother, 我想 share 我的一个 meditation experience.
Very good.
因为我家在修理和 有做一点装修 ，so before New Year, it was started before New Year. So 就他一直做到after New Year, 其实 So 我的身体就感觉就很累跟很痛 ，you know?
Yeah, eating, eating.
Overwork. Okay, so 我也没有做我的meditation for quite some time 啦。
Yes.
Two weeks plus 啦。
Yeah.
有一天的早上，当我起来的时候，我就不知不觉的坐在我的 meditation cushion 上面。然后我就就 meditate。Then after 我 meditate for a while 啊，我所有的 body 的 sensation 没有掉，就是没有任何的 any 什么都没有，就是
yeah, 你感觉不到了，
对，就是一个 awareness 这样子，
yeah.
然后就过了一阵子，我感觉到我盘的腿。很轻松，就好像感觉 like 怎样讲，就好像观世音菩萨，阿弥，我家有一个观世音菩萨，他盘腿那个感觉就是一样一样，就感觉得很轻松。就 after that 等我慢慢出来的时候，就我的那个 body 的 sensation 慢慢回来。就慢慢的回来，就那个痛就 still exist 啊。
Correct. So it will happen.
So 这个给我的感觉， 就是从一个来讲讲，就是我的 understanding 是来，那个是一个一个怎样讲，就是来。Actually, 如果我们没有 perception, 本来无一物，就是本来什么都没有。So after that, 我听 Bradio 的分享说，Who are you? What are you? 好像我开始明白。
That is the most important inquiry.
就是、
but after the meditation, 你才去 reflect。
当我出来，我打出来的时候，原来就是。本来无一物的我，本来就是什么都没有，说只是这个，因为这个 form and mind 的什么的五蕴的操作而把condition into this type of like no bodily sensation, we call it pain or whatever.
Yeah, sadhu.
So 之后很多的时候，我就觉得，哎，其实真的是本来无一物的我。就是这样子。
Very good. Okay. Don't worry. Before you continue, I have to explain this a bit because there is condition for people to understand. So rejoice with the good meditative experience that Alicia gone through. It leads to another condition for me to explain what this thing is.So just now, what Alicia went through is a type of a meditative transformation, or what they call in Mandarin, 一个境界 where she go through. That's why she will have that understanding. But she actually contemplate, reflect, then she likedevelop the message or the understanding from Hui Ning's poem. So that one also not bad, very good. But what is more important is it will allow her to understand what that nature is. So when you meditate for her case, because she was so tired for the whole of the Chinese New Year together with the house renovation,She is so tired until she don't have the luxury of time to even do her religious routine. But she already know how to meditate, know how to silence. So for meditator or cultivator like her, she can settle down into samadhi very fast. Then when the samadhi or the state become very stable, very still, then when the thought all gone, then this,true mind will surface. The true mind, which is the nature, the awareness nature, is beyond the aggregate of mind. You understand? Beyond the aggregate of mind means the aggregate of mind of feeling is not there. Perception is not there. Sankara activity is all not there.Even the pure awareness, maybe it's still there, but not prominent. Not prominent. So it went into that continuous mindfulness, that sati. When sati is continuous, because last night I did it before, I was doing the long podium movement.Then there was a itchiness at the forehead there, I remember. When I become continuous in my mindfulness, it's like a layer of pure energy cut off that sensation. That feeling aggregate gone. Then I want to understand. I slow down the mindfulness. Then I realize it come back. Then I stabilize it again.That is gone. That's why I can understand what Alicia went through, and I also went through before. Because you will reach that relaxed state of sati that is so stable that your whole mind transforms. then you can feel many things actually at that time. But when the feeling aggregate also gone, that mind has transformed. That's why that transformation of consciousness or 境界 from the mundane mind, it has went into the true mind, the true nature. And the true nature without feeling, that's why she cannot feel any sensation. She cannot feel any of the mind's aggregate. So it's like you are so relaxed, so still, at ease. And that nature inside there is by itself. When you go through that, then you will know who are you, what are you. The mundane mind that is dependent, originating, coming, go, that one is one aspect of your karmic nature. Means karmically conditioned form and mind for you to come to this existential world. So this is the five aggregate of form and mind. The other one that is beyond the five aggregate, that's why there is another nature within, which you can never experience unless you can meditate until you can silence everything and develop the awareness within, stability of it, until that true mind, that true nature surface. Yeah. Then initially it's like you are in the formless rhyme. The form, everything is gone. Where there is no perception. That's why they reach those states of neither perception or non-perception. Those are still my state, the 31 plane. But this one, it went in, is that true nature. But that mundane mind hasn't completely ceased. It's still there, very near. That's why later on, when she come out on the meditation, then slowly, slowly the feeling come back, the sensation come back, and she become like the consciousness inside the physical body again. That's how it happened. But her way of contemplation also very good. He makes use of Hui Ning's poem. Ben Lai Wu Yu. He know originally that nature is without anything, empty. That's why she will start to understand how the mundane mind come to be, how it come back when it come out of it, how the consciousness come back and become like part of the form and mind again. Then when that thing happened, that mind that is trapped inside that physical body together animate into a human being again. And that one is Alicia Chung. So that one is the vehicle and the tool where you come, karmically conditioned. That one can think. That one can manifest feeling, emotion, and all those things, can become conscious of things and all those things, can come out with a lot of story and all those things. So that one is the mundane mind, the creative part. So this part, you reflect on it and contemplate. For Alicia's case, she can understand all this very easily. So that in future, you will know this much clearer. So that you can later on teach people, explain to people what actually happened. That's why like, who are you, what are you, which she reflected on is very good. Yeah, when you are in that state without thought, who are you? Remember the inquiry? That is the Kong'an that I want you all to use when you can experience all this, so that you know this state is beyond the aggregates of mind, but it's not cessation, it's not Nibbana. When Nibbana arrives, the pure awareness also gone, the whole mind cease, then it went into the unconditioned. This one is still that true mind, is still there. But it's a very beautiful state. You will understand that that one doesn't belong to the conditioned world. That is the true nature inside, the unconditioned. That's why that one, no word, nothing. But like Wu Yi Wu, her to resonate. Originally, it's empty. Where can the dust align? There is no word, nothing to create duality, the dust and all this thing. So this part is more important. Eh? So Alicia, salute to you. Eh? So 这个是给你了解, and then later on, 你自己也能够了解的，比如 after many months or many years later, you yourself will understand what. Because when this thing starts to stabilize and your understanding of the meditative transformation, you will evolve yourself and develop it. But because you have the good condition, so my nature can share this with you first so that it saves you time to understand all this on your own. Otherwise, it may take another few years before you can come to the understanding that I'm trying to explain to you. That's why I used to tell Kanyamita, there are a lot of things that happen that is completely beyond the book, not described before, not explained before. Very few people can reach this stage of cultivation, this level of transformation. Even to have a glimpse of that true mind, the silent mind, is already so difficult. To stabilize it and when in is even more difficult. That's why the awareness-based meditation is not what you think. It's a very, very different type of meditation. It involves stabilizing your true mind, your nature, so that you understand clearly what that nature is. Then when you understand, you will not be deluded, you will not be deceived. Then the two, they are so near. That's why when she come out of it, she become like normal again. Then the aggregates come back, everything come back. So this type of meditative transformation and experience is very important. It allows the cultivator, the meditator, to develop a lot of understanding. That's why I say this spiritual understanding is not easy, because it involves three aspects. The condition, form and mind, and the unconditioned. And that form and mind, which is a vehicle, and the two karmically conditioned for you to come. So these three has to be understood. Is the conditioned world, the nature's law that governs life and existence, the unconditioned, which is beyond the condition. Then the form and mind, which is karmically conditional for you to arise. What is this? What are those two? This is the whole scope of cultivation. It is not taught in the Theravada tradition. Even Mahayana also didn't explain it this way, because they cannot link. They cannot have the understanding of the whole of this cultivation and practice. So with that, I will let Alicia continue with her reporting. Sadhu, Alicia.
Sadhu Bradio, Kan En Bradio.
Yeah,
如果没有 Bradio 的 guidance, 我们会不知道会。
没事的, 你自己能够悟到的, but it will take you a while. It can be a few years before it stabilizes until the level I can explain to you.
是的, Bradio.
刚才你说还有什么你要讲的?
Bradio, 还有一个 experience 是, 我好像知道, but 我不懂得怎样 put it, but 我 try to
yeah, 对, initially, because not stable yet, you cannot express it. Then when you describe.
就是有一天晚上, 就是我要去打我的 booster 的 injection 的时候, 那个晚上, 因为我从来就没有失眠, 自从我学了 meditation, 那天他就 manifest 给我失眠, 就不能睡, then after that, 我就 try to 观想地藏王菩萨, 好, 然后我就, 我好像在 force 我的mind 去观想地藏王菩萨，而不是很 relax 的那种。
呀呀，我知道。
Then after that 哈，他就 through 那个 awareness， 他看到整个过程，然后 suddenly 他自己 like 怎样讲，他就是 suddenly 来知道，然后他就 suddenly 就不怎样就。Then after that, 就 like slowly 就睡着了，这样子。就是 我知道 something happened inside， 我不懂得怎样 put it right to。
Yeah, yeah， 因为你有那个 meditative awareness， 你就能够看得到 that you are not relaxed。我要确定 ，because the Mandarin word you use 啊，什么棉呢、啊？刚才你讲。
失眠呐、
啊。What is the meaning? Actual meaning.
失眠就是
insomnia, is it? Is it insomnia?
Like,
cannot sleep 啊。
Cannot sleep， 而是他很多 sankara， 他很多。
我知道哈，所以你的不是说你有 insomnia， but 你就知道那个时候你要 sleep 的时候，你要 rest 的时候，你 aware 到这个 sankara 吗？So that one very important. A lot of people cannot overcome that. Then it become insomnia， you all call it what？ 失眠啊，失眠啊 ，not 睡眠啊，失眠啊，
是吗？失去的眠，我睡不到就是。
哦，失去的眠啊，失眠。Okay, good. So what happened is when you have the awareness and the Dhamma understanding already, you will like what you go through. You will know that you are not relaxed.Then you try to reflect and contemplate. Then through that reflection and contemplation within that mind state, suddenly the understanding is there. But immediately after that, you went to sleep and it's gone. Never mind. No need to remember. Because wisdom, you don't have to remember.Is there, means it's there. It is like 你自己悟到 like you awaken to it, then you understand. It can be any of the yoniso manasikara thing. Then suddenly you connect to, then the 睡眠 or the whatever means, that you cannot sleep on, that one is gone. Because all this are, like you know, is a lot of sankara.But what is Sankara? Sankara is mental activity, mental state, aggregates of mind. So Sankara come and go, arise and pass away. You don't give it meaning, you allow it to be. It will slow down and it will settle down and it will return. So your ability to let things be is very important.你下次 when you have this, it's very easy. So what my nature do is, I just relax and silent, like I'm a dead person on the bed or whatever. Then after a while, I will go to sleep. But you hold on to that thought, finish. It creates a lot of other things. Then there is no way you can sleep anymore.That's why don't try to reason. Don't try to like analyze how come like that, how come after so long cultivation. That one is still the mundane mind telling story, creating sankara activity. So what you have gone through is very good because your mindfulness, awareness and your understanding protect you. That's why you can go through all this.And this phase is very good because most of the time you are very tired because you involve yourself with a few things. You buy that piece of land, the agriculture land, then you renovate your house. Then New Year, you got a lot of things to do. So when the body is very tired, you can experience a lot of beautiful things, especially when it comes to meditation. Which brings me to another condition.I think a lot of Kayamita will remember this. When we go for our spiritual trip, do you recall or remember? We are full of virya, sadha. Oh, very strong when we are there, like cannot tire on. Oh, like a lot of joy. But on the day when you want to go home already, of course there is still joy, even on the plane you rest. But after that, there's a lot of joy. Then even at the airport, when you come out, take your luggage, once you leave, still a lot of joy. Then after that, we reach home. Then most of the people who are tired, they will take a bath, they will tidy up, whatever, then they will go back to their own routine. Then some too tired, they just sleep, they just rest. When you rest, you can really rest. Because that time, the body really need rest. And because of your Dhamma understanding, you will come to realize the spiritual nature, the spiritual energy inside there is very strong. And you know how to relax and rest. I tell you, your nature draw because of the joy and the energy that you have actually received for the spiritual trip. Because those few days time of spiritual activity and collective consciousness, they are actually inside there, not stabilized there. But you need to rest, relax. That's why when you're very tired, that is where that nature can really move in and really meditate inside there and transform. So a lot of all this about cultivation, you will only understand after the whole process. Now, because there is condition, I explain all this to you all, then you all can understand. Then you will know how to do it in the future. So spiritual cultivation is a lot more than what the theoretical Dhamma is. All these are not mentioned or explained because it's people never go through, never have the condition to understand all this. That's why what we are discussing now is something that is totally beyond the normal people who cultivate using the thought-based, knowledge-based, which is not awareness-based. Our awareness-based with the spiritual nature, with the understanding and the transformation is so different. So hopefully, today's sharing will help many of you. So we should all rejoice and thank Alicia for the special condition. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good, Alicia. Sadhu.
Sadhu Baratiu. 其实在还没有去学在 Baratiu 那边学佛法之前的我是 so called 我所以那天 Baratiu 分享了那个达玛之后，我感觉是 full of gratitude， 因为如果我没有去 Baratiu 那边上课，我想我会抓得很紧。是全部事情就是会可能要 so called do it my way。
然
后我就
那个就是 coming dead， coming dead， 业障要还的。
所以我就讲，
but,
哎呀，
because of your good affinity with the great beings, especially Kuan Yin, 地藏王菩萨 and also some of the Kayamitas. So it created causes and conditions for you to come back and become part of the Kayamitas again. And for you to continue with your cultivation and all this thing. In fact, not only this life, in the past, you also have gone through quite a number of such things. That's why when you come, initially you have to pay back a lot of your karmic debt. But when the condition arises, you will connect back. Then after you connect back, you develop the understanding, then you do a lot of wholesomeness. You have a lot of people. Your parami starts to go a different way again. That's how you actually accumulate all this. Then in future when you come, you know how to make the appropriate bodhisattva vow, aspiration and other things. So in future when you come, you don't have to go through a lot of the unnecessary karmic thing or karmic situation. That's why you must follow the bodhisattva vow, the yellow card, to break all karmic obstructions so that they will not obstruct you. So that in future when you come, the path will be very straight. And you will be able to continue with your perfection, your cultivation in a very orderly manner. So all these are possible. But whoever who have affinity with you, you will continue to have affinity like this line. Freddy, your children, they actually supported you in a very different way, and your affinity with them too. So these are beautiful condition, affinity. And because of that, in future, you can have that condition to support them back, especially Freddy. This line, maybe he's not ready to go the full spiritual way, but he has done a lot of good support for you, and he also, in his own way, he learned based on what he can understand now. But in future, when you have the condition and the ability, you can also take him across. Because of your special relationship and affinity. So all this is part and parcel of the cultivation. Sadhu.
Sadhu, Brother
Gio.
Yeah. Yeah. 我想每天就活在烦恼中,
对,
烦恼, 怨恨, 或者,
yeah,
自身心,
yeah.
那个贪嗔痴,
yeah, 贪嗔痴,
对, 对, 所以就继续在造业, 然后又,
yeah.
like Brad 就该讲的, 我们, we have no choice 的时候, we
yeah.
have to come, you know?
Correct.
所以, 所以我觉得这一的, 这一趟来人生是非常非常的有意义, 因为, First, 我可以在别人就自己学习佛法，然后从在学习佛法的过程后， 我又可以跟别人分享。
Yeah.
因为我也是很想发愿，好像 like Brad去弘法， you know?
对。
去,
to benefit sentient beings, take them across.
我看到他们很苦 Brad.
Yeah, 因为你跟地藏王很 good affinity, that's why 地藏王的愿力更 更 extensive， 他连那个地狱的众生他都要去 save， not until the hell is empty of sentient being， he vow not to realize the perfect enlightenment， so he's creating the condition for him to stay in the saha world， so all these are different cultivator, different condition, different affinity, different understanding. They can do it based on their own way. And you can do it. You will be able to do it and successfully do it. Sadhu.
感恩 Brother Dio, 感恩师兄，感恩所有感恩米达，
yeah, yeah, yeah.
感恩所有师兄，我这些真的是太好了，在。 这个人生所谓的后期的人生，我的生活感觉到很踏实，就是每一分钟都有那个 awareness 的，不会把自己搞得来很紧张，对，因为以前啊，因为以前啊，lost
in thought，
生气就是骂人嘛，
对，
所以刚才讲 patience and endurance。 wisdom，如果你没有 wisdom 的，
没有用的，你是 suppression， 是 resistant 那个 suppression， 对，会爆发的，
是，所以感恩 radio， 所以我
sadhu，
我非常的讲不出来啊，非常的
，yeah，I can understand from what you have related to us and share with us. Because before you met me, before 你遇到我，你自己的 life as you have described it, it was like totally hideous. And for 17 years almost, you were in the state of severe depression with suicidal thought, ulcer, and a lot of problem. Because that is coming. You have to pay back. You have to experience and go through. And also because you experienced all this, that's why when you came to my class, you can understand suffering very fast. No need to explain. So that become a blessing in disguise. That's why you start to understand what constitutes wrong thought very fast. Because you realize all the thought you are holding has the evil root that create the wrong thought, that condition your suffering, your misery, your fear, your envy, your jealousy, your unhappiness, your deep resentment. And this is what the cocoon of thought, negative thought, that caused you to be very depressed. And life was miserable. Everything was like not right. That's why suicidal thought. And from there, you managed to come out. And because you have this faith, affinity, and you keep on chasing after the Dhamma sharing, you keep on listening, ASEAN, whether the recording is ready or not. So, then I think that time you are one of the most diligent Kayamita who non-stop listening. Then you put it to practice where you can see the joy. You can understand the importance of all this. That's why you able to put it into practice. And that time I remember your English was not so good, but you determined to learn, to read up and develop the understanding. And now you have become so beautiful. Then the retreat also helped you, the Cameron Highland. That few years of annual retreat. Initially, the coming obstruction still there. It like wants to prevent you from participating in all these things because of your ulcer, your whatever problem created by the depression and all these things. But there were a lot of good Kayamitas and people who have affinity with you brought you to meet up with me and learn the teaching. So all this, you should thank them, rejoice. Very good, Sadhu. Yours is a very good example of how Dhamma can really transform a sentient being that has gone through so much difficulties. Suffering and misery. So really, really rejoice. Sadhu to you, Alicia.
Sadhu, brother.
Sadhu. 还有什么吗？
就没有什么，因为也要10:30。
呀，
我就看我的群。
Sadhu. Very good.
跟大家感恩 brother.
呀，感恩。Sadhu. Yeah. Also, we would like to rejoice one more time. Sadhu.Sadhu, Sadhu, with Alicia's good sharing. And also the causes and conditions for us to have this type of Dhamma sharing, which is very beautiful. Then the other thing that I want to add is, because the last session, I remember PG reported also a similar related incident.She went back for New Year, I think, while in Penang. Then she didn't do her religious routine. Then after a while, she like realized the mind is no longer like the time when she was in PJ doing all this with the faith and all this thing. Or then she tried to develop understanding of it. So I told her, don't worry, because initially it's like that when it's not stable yet. You will go through that phase. Then later on, you determine, you cultivate again, stabilize everything. Then it's like learning how to play badminton. Until you are very skillful, until you are very, very stable, then even if you stop playing badminton for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, the moment you hold that racket, it's like very easy to have the stroke. The only difference is stamina not there because you didn't train, but the stroke is there. And you have to train until that stability, means the Dhamma understanding, the wisdom. So that like Alicia's case, whatever happened, even so tired or what, because didn't do for 2 weeks or so, but how come she can settle down and don't have such problem? It's because quite stable already, as far as the understanding of that meditation is concerned. That's why she can go into that state of stillness, tranquility, silence, be with the true mind very easily. So that is the stability that you must develop. So for PJ, she can also develop it if she stabilizes all this and continue to persevere and cultivate. Or maybe at the moment it's only a few months for her, still very short. Alicia said this last few years is very beneficial to her, because ever since she had this ability to develop this understanding of this awareness-based meditation, she realized she hardly hit us anymore. Most of the time she is with the awareness, and she is very sensitive, and she can be aware of her mind state and whatever activity that is going on in life, despite the routine, the amount of activity that she has to go through and how tired she is. All this does not affect her anymore. And that is the stability, at least, you must realize. So for PG, and all the other Kayamitas who are doing the cultivation, you make sure you stabilize all this, develop the clear understanding until very stable. Then no matter how tired or what, you will know what to do. And you will not like fall back to the old way. So okay, with this, I think I will end today's sharing. So let us rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.